Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Okay, welcome back, and always delighted and look forward to having with us today Pastor Lucas Miles. He's a host of the Lucas Miles Show and Epoch TV's Church and State broadcast. He's been a pastor for over 20 years, based out of South Bend, Indiana, University of Notre Dame area. He's also a faculty at the Summit Ministries. Can't say enough about Dr. Jeff and his team there. Author of several books, and his book that really has kind of taken everything by storm, Woke Jesus. The title alone ought to draw you through the cover, and we'll talk about that. Lucas does have a website, lucasmiles.org. There's a picture of the landing page, lucasmiles.org. Hey, Lucas, good to see you, buddy. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Always good to be back on your program.
Thank you. Good to see you at the NRB. Looks like you never sleep.
It feels like I never sleep sometimes. So, yeah. It's pretty accurate.
You're one busy guy. All right. For those who don't know, what is woke Christianity in your definition?
Yeah, woke Christianity is Christianity that has attached what I call a theological hitchhiker, and that is they've applied Marxist ideology to the Christian faith to get this hybrid faith, really this amalgamation, which is Jesus plus Marx equals progressive Christianity. And I think it's a heresy, and it should be avoided and really ran from at all costs.
All right, so that's going on in the faith category. In the meantime, have we lost our impact?
I think that, you know, it's fair to say that I think there's been moments where the church has gotten, you know, off track or lost, you know, touch with culture. I think that we saw that during, you know, COVID with how many churches didn't have a live stream yet. And they were scrambling to try to get these things together. We were behind a little bit from where technology should have been and from where a lot of the rest of the world was. I think that, you know, ideally, if the gospel's true, which I believe that it is, and if the church is the answer, it's God's last-ditch effort to save the planet, as I often like to say, then we should really be at the cutting edge of these things. We should be putting all of our resources and energy to make sure that the church takes this really this ancient message that we call the gospel and always packages it in a way that's relevant, utilizing tools that are effective today to be able to reach the masses.
When I was a young lad in Bible school, I remember one of the sermons from the professor, and he said, and the sermon was this, God called you to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. You are to set the temperature of your culture, not react to it. We seem to be in a reactionary mode if we are now allowing wokeness to enter the church.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, I read an article, and I want to say, you know, one of our mutual friends from NRB shared it. I'll leave his name nameless here. But in this article, it was talking about how many technological innovations were being driven by the pornography industry and things like live stream and, you know, 4K video and all of this was being generated first out of demand due to these pornographic websites. And, you know, you think about that today, like the church should be the one creating the demand for new technologies. We should be the one, not sin, not debauchery or anything like that. We should be the ones. And it's such a statement about where our culture is when you really hear, you know, some of the facts on these things and recognizing how far we've fallen. And I think it's time. I honestly think the church's best days are ahead. And I think that it's time that we shine brighter than ever.
Amen. And yet, I've never seen, I don't know how to ask the question or make the statement, but it seems like being a Christian, the culture is demonizing you at another level. I mean, one that we're not comfortable with, one that we haven't seen before. It could be because we've never had to defend our faith at the water cooler. Now we're not only defending it, we're being knocked down because of it.
Yeah, look, we have seen this before. It's just been about since like the third century since it's happened, right? Mm-hmm. We've entered into kind of a new day where Christianity is being vilified in ways that it has not been vilified since first, second, third, fourth century. And there were conversations in Rome early on where Christian leaders had to defend the Christian lifestyle and the Christian religion to the emperor, and to really make a defense. It's where we first get this term kind of apologetics, and what it's used for there is a defense of the gospel. And because Christians were accused of being bad for the economy, they were accused of participating in all sorts of things. They were accused of being atheists because they didn't worship all the gods of Rome. And so we're in a day today where people don't understand Christianity. They are really rejecting a caricature of God and not God himself. And I think that if they actually heard about the true God, if they actually heard the true gospel, if Christians were actually able to intelligently and clearly and concisely defend our faith better, I think that some of this could be pushed back. But at the end of the day, there is an enemy that hates God, hates all things about Jesus, and we are seeing the result of that in our culture today.
So there's a yellow flag I see here, too. We are waking up. We are starting to push back, and we dangerously priding ourselves in figuring it out. We now see what the devil's doing. We now are educated ourselves. Some of the conspiracies have become realities, etc. And we're starting to get puffed up because we understand the problem and the world is evil and the devil's bad and the culture is this and all that. It doesn't translate into change.
So I don't hear, I mean, Perry, maybe you and I are talking about this for some of the first time in our nation today. I don't hear a lot of guys speaking about this, about what I'm going to say. What you see is there's this pendulum of the swinging between essentially grace or permissivism given to the extreme, or law, or eventually what leads to legalism within Christianity. And so, you know, we went through a time where legalism was very prevalent in our nation, and people felt it. They got beat up by the church. They had all these post-traumatic church disorder sort of moments, is what I call them. Mm-hmm. And they started getting a bad taste in their mouth for the organized church. And so what did that do? It started shaping kind of this this seeker-sensitive model, sort of more permissive Christianity, more accepting Christianity. Well, that for a time kind of got back into the grace message, and then it went off the rails and it's gone into progressive Christianity. Now what you're seeing is people are starting to pull back and go, no, we can't have that. My fear is in another 5 years, we're not going to be talking about progressive Christianity. We're going to be talking about legalistic Christianity again, and the danger. You know, we need the gospel, and the gospel is grace and truth, period. Always present, both of those at the same time.
Okay, you set it up. I have to share with you something that I heard at the NRB.
Yes.
And I'm going to share this with you. We may have to take in the break in the middle of it, but I'm sure this will rock your boat a little bit. Here's a question. Has there been a silent, I wrote this down. I came home from the NRB and I wrote down a couple of pages of takeaways from the NRB. This is number one. Has there been a silent divorce between the Word and the Spirit, between Reformed theology and charismatic theology, to the point that we are having a hard time believing in miracles again?
That is a great question, and I think that it is really worth pondering. I mean, look, you've seen a rise in the cessationist movement. I grew up a cessationist. I as the way I say it, I discovered the Holy Spirit in my early 20s, and it changed my life. And, you know, but what I have made a lot of my ministry about is leaning into strong Orthodox Christian teaching and church history and all the theological aspects, but also hearing from the Spirit. I don't see that in a lot of ministries today, but I really believe that we need more of it. And I think what you're asking is definitely on point of what one of the issues are today in the church.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you go back to your original point where we swing from one end of the print, you know, to the other, where we go back and forth and we become very legalistic and super grace. But in that movement, has there been this divorce between solid Word and the allowance of the Holy Spirit movement? We had it. There's a period. It might even be going on now where we're kind of shooting at one another.
Yeah, look, and I'll probably get in trouble for this, but look, there's a lot of charismatics with bad theology. There are a lot of, you know, people in kind of the more the reform side of the camp that are extremely judgmental and fault finding, and they think that they're the only ones going to heaven. Orthodoxy is wider than that. And I think there's room for orthodoxy within orthodoxy for both charismatics and, you know, reformed thinkers. And I know some people who are charismatic reformed, and that's a whole another conversation, right?
Right, right.
But I think that, you know, what we have to do is we have to do a better job at really unifying around primary doctrine, setting aside some of our differences over secondary issues. We can talk about them over coffee, but they shouldn't divide us in ministry or divide us in how we're reaching out to the lost world. And that's really what we've done. We've set up this website, AmericanPastorProject.org. You and I have talked about it before, right. I think, on the show. And that's a major push for us, is trying to bring the church together over primary doctrine, across denominational lines, to circle the wagons and to really stand against wokeism and this kind of neo-paganism that we're seeing rise today.
Yeah. All right, let me take a quick break. Folks, check out Lucas Miles' website, lucasmiles.org, pastorsproject.org, too. There's another website you can go to. And certainly get a copy of his book. It's very resourceful. Woke Jesus. That ought to just kind of set you back on your heels. But he hits the mark. Check it out. Woke Jesus by Lucas Miles. We'll be right back.
We'll be back to this week's interview in just a few seconds. In the meantime, we want to let you know that you can watch this interview, plus many more exclusive interviews that happen this week on the Dove's Daily TV and radio show, by visiting our website, thedove.us. And while you're there, sign up for our free daily devotional, The Word for You Today. 3 months of daily readings that will connect you with God's Word. Now, back to the show.
Hi, welcome back, and always an honor to have with us Pastor Lucas Miles, and he is a pastor, and he works with Summit Ministries. I can't say enough about that ministry as well. Check out his book called Woke Jesus. There's a picture of the cover of the book. The subtitle is The False Messiah Destroying Christianity. And his personal website, lucasmiles.org, and another ministry website, pastorsproject.org. Lucas, I was trying to figure this out during the break. I work with some broadcast ministries around the world, a group called United Christian Broadcasters. And in the Commonwealth countries, pluralism is alive and loud and clear. As an employee of a station, you cannot quote John chapter 14, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," because you've raised Jesus higher than any other God. So in pluralism, all religions lead to the same God, and they all roads lead to heaven. I'm wondering if that's being disguised in America as social justice.
Yeah, I think 100%. I mean, look, it's been happening in other places for a while now. We're going to see it in increasing amounts here if the tide doesn't change. I first started seeing this actually before I ever did any television in the U.S., really, to speak of. I was doing TV up in Canada. I was on, you know, shows like 100 Huntley Street, which is a great program up there. Peter Youngren had me up on various platforms. And there was probably three or four of these shows in Toronto, especially, I would go up regularly on. And I remember talking to these guys, and none of them could do 24/7 Christian broadcasting because they weren't allowed to have a station that did 24/7 Christian broadcasting. They always had to put in some counter programs in there of other faiths in order to meet these government regulations. And I mean, this was, you know, 10, probably sometimes some cases 15 years ago. How much further it's gone now, and to where you're actually regulated from saying certain Bible passages and Bible verses, that scripture is now hate speech. I mean, this is a really an indictment of how far we've fallen as just the Western world. And I think that if people don't recognize what's going on around the world, it's going to be in a neighborhood and a city near you real soon, if it's not already. And I think that you know, the our religious freedom, especially on the airways, is really at in jeopardy if we don't take this seriously.
I attended a lot of the legal sessions there for the obvious reason, and the Baker issue came up. You know, Baker's baking a cake for an LGBTQ wedding and refusing to do that. As you know, those cases have gone to the Supreme Court, and they won them, but now surfaced again in California. And the alarm was, if they can force a person to do something in their business that they don't want to do, can they force a broadcaster to air something they don't want to air, and a preacher to say something they don't want to say?
Look, they're going to try. And I mean, this is the whole nature. When you really understand the roots of cancel culture, I mean, you know, cancel culture comes from arguably, you know, Herbert Marcuse, who taught this idea of repressive tolerance, basically that we need to tolerate every idea that comes from the left and we need to suppress every idea that comes from the right. And so because of the paradigm here, the left believes that ideas on the right have had a sort of had their heyday for long enough. And so therefore, in order to balance out, you know, kind of the culture, we need to start, you know, suppressing ideas on the right and even bad ideas, any idea on the left, we need to give it merit. And this is why you don't see the left attacking some of these ludicrous ideas that are coming up and, you know, kids that believe they're animals and all these sort of, they don't speak out about that because they believe that those ideas have to be given freedom in order for society to balance themselves out. This is part of the left's playbook. And I think it's playing into that cancel culture. And I think pastors need to know what their rights are, what they can do. They need to have some of these First Amendment legal groups on speed dial in today's culture, because if they haven't gotten an attack yet, if they actually stand up for Jesus, they probably will eventually. And we need to be, you know, really prepared both in the pulpit and also in the courtroom, unfortunately.
There's a flip side to this negativeness, if I can put it that way. And that is, I have never, running a network here, I have never seen hunger from non-believers before. There seems to be a searching for, there's got to be something else because the culture has just gone crazy. I may not be a person of faith or a left or a right or a red or a blue, but I don't like this. Is there a God? Does he love me? And is there a heaven? I mean, it also seems to me that this is harvest time. I wonder if we see this as an opportunity.
Look, we have to recognize it. It's imperative. And I think that, you know, here's what I would say to other, you know, my peers out there as Christian thought leaders who are speaking out about, you know, kind of these cultural issues, is that we have to make sure, like, I can talk high level about these things on a program like yours, and we can, you know, make kind of these blanket statements about the nature of culture. But I have to find a way to translate that on an individual basis and on sort of a sermon basis or social media messaging basis in a way that doesn't isolate people who are searching. There are people who are in the occult, who are in, you know, witchcraft, that are, you know, that are in some other faith, that they're really looking for truth. Mm-hmm. They think they found it temporarily in these other, you know, versions of reality that they're looking at. But I think if they heard the true gospel, they would run from their lifestyle and they would come to the feet of Jesus. And we have to make sure that invitation is always there. And we're not in our stance for truth, which we need, that we're not being so strong in a way in which that that doesn't allow anybody the ability to ask a question or to be approached, you know, that we cease to be approachable. And so it's a fine balance. And that's why we need grace and truth always present in this, not a watered down version of either, but 100% present. And that creates, I think, the receptivity to the gospel that we are seeing on an increase right now, because I do believe that there is a revival that has started and is taking place.
Yeah. Isn't that what you guys do at Summit Ministry with students?
Yeah, Summit's incredible. Look, I just got my new dates for the summer. I'll be out there with them. And I have the joy of showing up for a couple times each summer to talk with students, kind of get to become professor for a day or two while I'm there. And it's amazing. You know, they'll get they have locations around the country, and Summit Ministries, I mean, they've been around for decades. Dr. Jeff has done such a fabulous job of really leading the helm there, and everybody on their team's incredible. And so, you know, this is they've gathered some of the best Bible teachers and thought leaders within the Christian space and apologetical space that they bring together to really pour into students to help them develop a Christian worldview at these, you know, these camps. And it's kind of think like church camp meets college campus, and you have all the fun of church camp, but you have lectures and real, you know, intellectual stimulation that's taking place. It's an amazing thing.
That's wonderful. I want to come back to the pastor just for a moment. Being a pastor today is almost an impossible job. it's a tough job, and you know that so well. But you're on top of it. I mean, you see where the lines are. What can you say to parishioners who would like to see their pastor address these issues, but they're not doing it?
Look, the first thing I would say is you have to determine really where your pastor is on these issues. Because if your pastor's not addressing them, there's a good chance that he doesn't want to be involved in the issues and he just wants to remain neutral, which is not a Christian position. or that he's actually on the other side, that he is, you know, sort of silently for a lot of these cultural, you know, deviations that we're seeing today, but he's not bold enough to actually talk about that from the pulpit either. And so, you know, we need pastors to really be called to the carpet on where are they, you know? And I think that's, again, that coming back to our AmericanPastorProject.org website, that's why we've put that out there, is we want parishioners to be able to ask their pastor, hey, have you signed the statement yet? Do you stand for biblical orthodoxy? Have you joined forces with this? And if you haven't, why not? And I would say if your pastor continually shows you that they're not willing to address issues, or they're not on the side of scripture with issues, it's time to find a new church. And there's not enough Christians that are saying, hey, enough's enough. Like, look, I love the relationships here. I love the ministry. I love all the people. But if you're not going to stand for truth, then we're going to go find someplace that is. And you need to vote with your butt, and you need to vote with your dollars. And you need to make sure that you are, you know, supporting ministries that actually stand with historic biblical Christianity, regardless of denomination. There's all sorts of great churches and various denominations in America, but you need to make sure you're in one that's preaching the word.
Pastorsproject.org. I had Eric Metaxas on, and of course, have you read his book? Have you read the book?
I have, yeah.
Okay, so he's basically saying the same thing, but in that book, he said something that was really interesting. He talked about, I think it was the 18,000 Methodist churches in Germany, where 3,000 stood against Hitler, 3,000 went with them, and the 12,000 that sat on the fence didn't realize that the devil owned the fence. That's quite an awakening, don't you think?
Yeah, Eric has done such a good job, and he's, you know, a dear friend, and I always enjoy every second I get to hang out, you know, around him and with him, and we had some time together this at the end of this last year at NRB. We kind of just blitzed by each other, waved a few times. We were both on the move, but incredible guy. And the work he's done with his, you know, Letter to the American Church, as well as the documentary, is just been a real blessing, I think, for the church here in America. And look, if the church falters here in America, it's not going to be because people haven't warned, you know, the body of Christ. And it's not going to be because, you know, we weren't aware of what the potential consequences were. And Eric has kind of used the history within Nazi Germany so well to bring that back up to our remembrance, and to really show that the church decided, you know, and this whole thing with progressive Christianity today that you're seeing, to me, it's doing exactly what the Nazified church did in Germany, is it's bowing down blindly to the state and becoming that propaganda center. And, you know, it was the biblically minded church that was not the Christian nationalist church. They were the ones that stood up for the gospel. And I would say that the media has this flip today. The true Christian nationalists are the Christian left that are bowing the knee to this woke agenda, and historic Christian, you know, churches, biblically minded churches that are preaching the full counsel of the Word of God. That's just called Christianity, not Christian nationalism.
All right, one question, 1 minute. We talked about a revival. I sense it. I sense it. Do you?
Yeah, you know what? We've had some really cool stories here lately, even at our church. We saw here, you know, one of our attendees, that they were in like full on kind of new age, you know, crystals and, you know, different, you know, seances, celebrations, and all these different things, just very mystical faith. And they found Jesus, and it was transformative. I mean, it was instant, and they're growing in their faith so fast. We are seeing more and more people that are coming to the conclusion that Jesus has everything that they're looking for, and not the woke Jesus, not even the He Gets Us campaign Jesus, but the true biblical Christ that we see in scripture. And I think that when people meet Him, the only appropriate response is to worship Him and to give your life to Him, because He gave His life for us.
Lucas, you're a delight, brother. Thank you. Let me say to our viewers and listeners, check out his website, lucasmiles.org. Check out the ministry website, pastorsproject.org, and grab a copy of his book, Woke Jesus. And there's a picture of the cover of the book. God bless you, my friend. Stay in the fight, and let's stay connected, okay?
Thanks, Barry. Pleasure as always.
Good to see you.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.